God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about how God works through people. I had just finished my lunch of a half bowl of soup when I was preparing this talk. The menu was a half a bowl of soup, three crackers, a half a pear, and a half a piece of chocolate. What an odd lunch, you might say. Well, it's a part of my own private diet system. When I go out on the road, I can't weigh myself every morning, so I can't keep track of the ounces that build up. When I come home, I dutifully get on the scale, and if I find out that I've gained a half a pound or a pound and a half or 2 pounds, then I have to go at getting them off. And instead of going on some fancy diet that I have to pay money for or seeing a doctor about or counting calories or eliminating items from my menu, I just cut the quantities in half. You can be sure that I really wanted a whole bowl of soup, about 6 crackers, at least the whole pear, and at least 1 whole piece of chocolate. But I took a half in order to get those pounds off. And you may say, what in the world has that got to do with the sovereignty of God? One lady came to me one time and told me that she had taken off 60 pounds since she had heard me speak a year or two before. And I was amazed. I couldn't remember having said anything at all about losing weight, but she said, oh, yes, you were talking about discipline. And she said, I realized that I was sitting there, a visible example of lack of discipline in my life. And she said, I've struggled with this business of eating, and I've tried all kinds of diets, and I've tried to take pills, and I've tried to psych myself out of eating, and I prayed that God would take my appetite away. Well, she said, none of it worked. None of it worked. And when I heard you talk, I thought, oh dear, I'm afraid what Elizabeth Elliott is telling me is that I've got to do something myself. And she said, when I began to pray about why God didn't take my appetite away, it was as if God said to me, and if I took your appetite away, then what would you have to do? And I realized that I wouldn't have to do anything, and God was not going to make it that easy for me. Oswald Chambers, in his wonderful little book, My Utmost for His Highest, says this: it requires supernatural grace to go through drudgery as a disciple, to live an ordinary, unobserved, ignored existence as a disciple of Jesus. It is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we have not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things, to be holy in mean streets among mean people. And this is not learned in 5 minutes. I love that. We get this idea that we have to do wonderful things for God, exceptional things, extraordinary things, visible things, things for which we'll get credit. But Chambers says, we have not. We don't have to do those great things for God. That's not what most of us are called to. But what we are all called to is to be exceptional in the ordinary things, faithful in the little things, trustworthy when nobody's looking, careful behind doors and cleaning the backs of things. My father always taught my brothers to be very careful about polishing their heels, not just the toes that they thought people would see, but the heels as well. My mother taught us girls that cleaning a room means dusting the rungs of chairs. Oh, it's easy to see the dust on top of the piano or on the coffee table, but who's going to notice the dust on the rungs of chairs? Well, my mother did, and she reminded us that God might notice it, the angels would notice it. So it was a matter of learning to be exceptional in the ordinary things. God, in His sovereignty, sometimes foils men's plans. You remember when the Ammonites and the Moabites hired a prophet named Balaam to curse Israel? God really foiled those plans. He turned the curse into a blessing. We read an incident in the New Testament where a crowd meant to throw Jesus over a precipice. And Jesus, on that occasion, simply passed through the crowd in what I take to have been a miraculous way. There was another time that all of you remember, I'm sure, when the crowd came after Jesus, and he did not escape. He was captured, imprisoned, and nailed to a cross. God, in his sovereignty, sometimes accepts men's plans. Remember when Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? This is from the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Then I said to the king, "If it please your majesty, let letters be given me for the governors of the province of beyond Euphrates, with orders to grant me all the help I need for my journey to Judah. Let me have also a letter for Asaph, the keeper of your royal forests, instructing him to supply me with timber, to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which adjoins the palace, and for the city wall, and for the palace which I shall occupy." The king granted my request, for the gracious hand of my God was upon me. Let's look back over those few verses. If Nehemiah was going to build the wall of Jerusalem, we see right there that this was an action that only a man could do. God was not going to rebuild that wall. He could have, but that's not the way he operates. He gives us work to do. And Nehemiah had gladly accepted this job of rebuilding the wall, but he couldn't do it by himself. So he went to the king. He asked for letters to be given for the governors of the province in beyond Euphrates, that they might help him. Instrumentalities of instrumentalities. Then he asked for a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the royal forests, so that he could get the timber that he needed for the citadel and the palace and the city wall. And what does he say? The king granted my requests. Why? Because the gracious hand of my God was upon me. Here we have a sovereign God accepting a man's plans, working through him, working on his behalf. Human existence was designed to rest not only on divine creation and bountiful, all-inclusive activity, but also upon human decision, precisely because God's omnipotence is crowned in the freedom of the individual to accept or to reject him. That's a quotation from Romano Guardini's book, The Lord. Let me read it again. Human existence was designed to rest not only on divine creation and bountiful, all-inclusive activity, but also upon human decision, precisely because God's omnipotence is crowned in the freedom of the individual to accept or reject him. In other words, one of the most significant proofs that God is omnipotent and can do anything he wants is that he created a creature capable of accepting him or rejecting him. No automaton can refuse to do what the operator wants it to do. We can refuse what God offers us, or we can accept it. God commands our activity. In 2 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor, and he gives him very strong, clear verbs, commands, things which he is responsible for as a young man in order to remain pure, to be a godly pastor. Words like this: consider, remember, endure, be diligent, avoid, depart, purify yourself, flee, follow, shun. There are things to shun, and there are things to be diligent in finding and doing. But Timothy was responsible. God was going to help him, but God was not going to do it all. You remember that hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through." But Jesus is not going to do it all. God in his sovereignty controls men. Jesus said to Pilate, You could have no power over me unless it were given you from above. Remember that Jesus was in the hands of this procurator of Judea. But he said, you could have no power unless it were given. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We read that God ordained hailstones in the book of Joshua, and he ordained a worm for Jonah. I love that. In one scripture passage, it uses the phrase, fear not thou worm, Jacob. We're all worms, aren't we, by comparison with who God is? God ordains the wind and the sun. He commands the moon to shine, and it shines. He puts the stars where they belong, and they stay exactly there. God in his sovereignty works through men, Moses, David, shepherds. And he says, As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We have something to do in order to receive him. So back to that business of eating a half a bowl of soup. It was one little thing that God was requiring me to do for his glory. What's he asking you to do today for his glory? He will help you with it, but he's not going to do the whole job.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.